David was an Air Force veteran, married to his wife named Sarah. They had 5 children. And he decided to surprise his wife, Sarah, with a weekend getaway for their wedding anniversary. So he rented a cabin in Reynolds County, Missouri. 5 children, 2 boys, Dominic, age 10, and Grant was 8. They were the adventurous type. So on the second day of their trip, David took his 2 boys out hiking. And with a kiss to Sarah, he said, "We'll be back for dinner." Now, 6 p.m. rolled around, and there was no sign of the boys, and Sarah began to be a little worried. 7 p.m., a storm rolled in, and the skies got dark, and the temperatures dropped 30 degrees in an hour. By 10 p.m., and still no sign of the boys, Sarah called in a search party and began to fear the worst. That fear, to be in an apprehensive state, to be troubled, to be afraid of what's about to happen and the reality of what's out there. Jesus talks about this with his apostles. He prepares them. He says, "You're going to be hated by all for my name's sake. You're going to be persecuted." I like to say that he prepares them for realistic discipleship. He doesn't promise to keep them from harm or that they won't suffer. He says that you will suffer and that you'll be hated by all. And we know that they did. We know that Peter was crucified upside down. We know that James was thrown off the pinnacle of the temple and then stoned to death when he hit the ground. We know Simon was sawn in two and that the others were beheaded, crucified, burned, and stoned. You're going to be hated by all. You're going to be persecuted. They maligned me. They called me Beelzebul, the devil. How much more are they going to malign those of my household? He tells his 12 apostles, and you're going to suffer. But don't fear them. Don't be afraid. Do not fear the one who can kill the body but can't touch the soul. Rather, fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Now, Jesus is talking to his 12 apostles here who have a unique calling, but you're a disciple of the Lord. This applies to you too. So my question for you this morning then is this: what do you fear? What are you afraid of? What's the thing that keeps you up late at night? We fear because something's not right, usually. We fear because something's not right. We usually fear something that's not right that we cannot control either. And so we fall into this deadly mindset, this trap. It's a trap of 4 deadly words when something we're afraid of that we don't have control. We think this: if I could just. If I could just. If I could just set things right, if I could get control, then all my problems would go away and I'd have nothing to fear. What do you fear? I think a lot of Christians today fear the direction our society is heading. We fear certain social agendas will drive us out of the public square. We fear that our freedoms are slowly going to be taken away from us because our views are no longer tolerated by the public. So, if I could just get the right president in office, if I could just get the right form of government, if we could just get the right laws passed, then all of our problems would be fixed and all of our fears would go away and we'd have nothing to fear. What do you fear? Maybe you don't fear society. Maybe your fear is more of a personal nature and you fear the mirror. Struggle with self-worth and self-beauty. You know, if I could just lose a few more pounds or gain a few more pounds. If I could just look in the mirror today and for 1 minute truly believe that I'm a beautiful person inside and out, then everything would be right and all my fears would go away. Even you who are baptized into Christ, who know the Lutheran teaching that you are justified by grace as a gift through faith, and it's not your own doing, yet you sometimes still fear where you stand before God on Judgment Day. So if I could just have a little more faith, if I could just trust God a little more, if I could just show God that I really mean it this time, then all my fears would go away and everything would be right and I'd fear nothing anymore. The church is guilty of this too. We fear losing members. 98% of churches in America are in decline. Recent study that came out 2 weeks ago, 98%. Which is why we give thanks for every person that the Lord has brought to us over the past year today. We fear losing our members. We fear losing our influence in society. We fear that the church will become nothing. So if we could just get the perfect pastor, if we could just have the right vision, or if we could just get a good mission, or if we could just get a ministry here, if we could just have the right programs, if we could get worship right, if we could have the perfect dulcimer band, if we could have the organist play beautiful, if we could have the perfect council or a marvelous board of elders, if we could just do these things, then all of our problems would go away and the pews would be packed and all of our fears would go away. If I could just. I'll trap you. They're deadly words. David and the two boys, Dominic and Grant, they were found the next morning, and they didn't make it. It got cold, they were lost, and they were pronounced dead when they were found. Unfortunately, this true story that happened 4 years ago in Reynolds County, Missouri, didn't have a rosy ending. But you know, sometimes life isn't so rosy, and your worst fears become reality. And then you go from if I could just to if I would have just. If I would have just told him, no, you're staying here for dinner tonight. If I would have just got her to the doctor sooner. I would have just done it differently, then everything would be right and all of our fears would go away. If I could just, if I would just. These are four deadly words that end up trapping you because they all set you up for answers that are me-centered. If I, if we, but we are up against a power more powerful than ourselves. We cannot fix what we are in by ourselves. We're up against an evil power that is far stronger, far greater, far bigger than you or I can fix on our own. When I was 18 and I was in a hospital room with kidney failure, I realized at that point in my life that there is nothing I could do to fix myself. I needed someone outside of myself to come and make me new and to heal me. If I could just, there was no I could do nothing. I needed someone outside of myself to come make things right. You want to know my favorite Bible verse for today? Exodus chapter 2. When the people of Israel are enslaved and they're crying out to God for mercy. And God hears their cries for mercy and he sees their affliction. And he remembers his promises that were made to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. And God knew. Two short little words that bring so much comfort. In the midst of everything that we fear, God knows. God knows. God knows what you're up against. And when Daddy knows, he'll make all things right. You know this. You come home, you see your child, you see your grandchild crying at the window. What do you dads do? Almost instinctively, you pick up that child, you hold him close to your chest, and you say, it's okay, Daddy knows. It's okay, Daddy knows, Daddy knows. And when Daddy knows, he'll make everything right. God knows. And he is in the business of setting all things right. So for those who fear the society, don't fear. God knows. And he reigns over all things. And he's putting all things under his feet. And he's working all things to the good of those who love him. God knows. Don't be afraid. To those who fear the mirror, do not fear. God knows. He knows. And he created you in his image. And he doesn't make junk. And you, he made a masterpiece. He knitted you together inside and out in the womb, and he has declared you beautiful and precious in his sight. God knows. And to those who fear the church's decline, don't fear. Jesus promised that even the gates of hell can't overcome the church. It's not dependent on what we do or what we don't do. The church lives because Jesus lives. And he's overcome the grave. A church will never die. Those who fear the judgment, come on, you're Lutherans. You know that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're justified by grace through faith. It's a gift, and God knows. And to those who have lost loved ones, like Sarah, do not fear. God knows. He knows what it's like to lose a loved one. He knows what it's like to lose his own son, stricken, smitten, and afflicted, and laid on a cross for the sins of the whole world. And you'll see your loved ones again because Jesus lives. Know this, that God is in control, and God knows what you need. He even knows the number of hairs on your head. And when Daddy knows, he will make all things right. Amen.